Welcome to the Mindful Mediums podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, an evidential spirit medium and intuitive development mentor. I talk to the dead for a living, and I help other people learn how to utilize their own gifts of spirit communication and trust more deeply in their intuition from a very grounded perspective. So if that's something you're into and you enjoy hearing about topics related to spirit communication, mediumship, psychism, tarot, the paranormal, all from a very grounded perspective, stay tuned for awesome guests, even some readings and discussion of all of these different topics from a very grounded perspective. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, pop in your earbuds, get comfortable, and get your water, because it's about to get real here on the Mindful Mediums podcast. Welcome to the newest episode of the Mindful Mediums podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, an evidential medium and intuitive development mentor. And this episode, we're going to be tackling a very frequently asked about topic, which is signs. How do you determine if something is a sign or if it's just synchronicity, coincidence, etc.? We're going to dive into it. So first and foremost, I always like to kind of preface that I approach everything from the sort of mundane lens. I always look for the mundane before the mystical. Now, you could absolutely apply mystical and magical thinking to things and see everything as magical, because it truly is. But ultimately, when it comes to having experiences outside of ourselves, when it comes to signs, to looking for validation, etc., we really do have to have a level of discernment psychologically, so that we don't become dependent on signs, but also we don't become ungrounded. Because I have seen sort of like that movement into like magical thinking where everything is a sign, and the next thing you know, you're like making decisions based off of angel numbers on license plates. Speaking from experience, yes, I did that. You know, so I feel like I've kind of been on that pendulum swing. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how can we approach things like signs and the universe speaking to us and our loved ones speaking to us, because this is a topic that gets asked all of the time. And you kind of walk around going, what does it mean? Like the Miley Cyrus song, you know, like, I don't understand. Because in the beginning of my development, I will say that I did have that sort of run-in where I was seeing like repeating digits everywhere I turned. It was just so, and it actually threw me, like it made me spiral, because I was like, this is too much. I literally said to Sean one day when we were driving, I'm like, I can't handle all these repeating numbers everywhere. I'm like, it's everywhere. Is spirit really speaking this loud to me? And then I was like, I had to check myself. And he was like, calm down. Like, it's like you could just be looking for it. And that was when I was like, okay, confirmation bias is a thing, you know? So I always want to emphasize, like, we have to take those things into account. Wishful thinking, confirmation bias, all of that plays into our experiences. And in order to remember that or to lean into that when it comes to having experiences with spirit, I think we have to really reflect and be honest with ourselves when it comes to the things we take on as signs, etc. So with that being said, we're going to talk first about signs when it comes to loved ones and spirit, because I feel a lot of the time, like a lot of my clients and myself included, when I first, you know, had my first major losses, I was really looking for these kind of big in your face experiences. And that's because I thought that's what they were going to be. I thought it was going to be like, you know, like this butterfly would come down and it would sit in front of me and it would just spin and be, like, hover there for, you know, 5 minutes. And I would just like have this like goosebumps everywhere. And I would know that that was my mom and, you know, all of that. And that was what I was looking for. That was my expectation that I was putting on my mom, the spirit world, etc. And as I started to develop, you know, years later, I realized how subtle our loved ones actually communicate with us and how subtly the signs can come in. And I also realized the importance of and the intelligence of the spirit world and how it's important to them to never do anything that's going to, number one, trigger us too emotionally or set us back in our healing in any way, shape, or form. So I always tell people, lower the expectations or release any expectations when it comes to how your loved one could come through for you with a sign. Because if we have a preconceived idea, if we have an expectation of how we think it should be, we're going to miss so much more. We're creating this funnel or this tunnel vision for ourselves, and we are really narrowing our field of awareness, which is not going to be helpful when it comes to communication. Now, sometimes signs are incredibly, incredibly obvious, and you have those moments where it's just undeniable, like you cannot make this up, right? Where you have those experiences that you'll look back on and go, oh my gosh, like it like hits you in the face. And sometimes you have those experiences, but more often than not, it's often really subtle. It comes in like a whisper. It comes in very, very subtle. So what are some of the ways that loved ones can communicate? And I'm going to give some examples from my own experience because I think it can be helpful. Because I think we have sort of this preconceived notion of all of the common ways that our loved ones send us signs, right? Like, you know, finding pennies. You know, people talk about pennies from heaven, finding pennies on the ground, or, you know, in odd places, or, you know, the feathers in really strange places that show up, right? Or the, you know, you're thinking of a loved one and then this song on the radio that you used to sing together starts to play, right? Those are kind of like the more kind of like common signs that are a little bit more obvious, if you will, but they're also very subtle. But what can happen is when we have this idea of what we think it should look like, we have a tendency either consciously or subconsciously to kind of look for it. So this is where confirmation bias comes in. So I always tell people, if you receive what you feel is a sign and you feel it's from a loved one, how do you know which loved one it is? Well, the truth is that all your loved ones, they're omniscient. They're around you. They're there. So regardless of which loved one it's from, I always tell people, when you have that experience, know that they're all there. They're all aware. They have an awareness of what's going on with you and your life. They're merely a thought away. Time is not linear in the way we experience it here in the physical, in the spirit realm. In the realms of spirit, things exist on a different frequency to where everything's kind of contracted and kind of like everything everywhere all at once. And I think it's a lot more nuanced than we could really put into words, but it's that reasoning is what allows them, I think, to be in multiple places at one time, to kind of be spread out among different family members, etc. Where I've seen it where like three family members will receive a sign from a loved one at virtually the same time, and they're all in different places. So it's those kinds of experiences that have shown me through my readings and the evidence that have come through from communicators that they are omniscient. And they are very aware. So, you know, when it comes to assigning a certain sign to a particular loved one, if you really want to get specific, I always tell people first thought, best thought is usually the way that you want to roll when it comes to this type of communication. So if you're like, oh man, that's a sign from my loved one, which one is it? First person to pop into your mind. Trust that, because that's how they come through. They project into your awareness. They're going to project into your consciousness, whether that's through, you know, projecting a memory or a flash or of an image of them in your mind's eye, or you just have that feeling because you know what that loved one felt like, what their energy felt like when they walked into a room. Trust that. Trust that very first impression when it comes to signs and knowing how that's coming through. So speaking of signs, I always like to give kind of some really oddball examples. So we know the basic ones, right? Like the butterflies, the dragonflies. Why is it that it's all these winged creatures? People always ask me. Why would that be a sign? Why is that one of the most common signs that people get? And I'm going to tell you why. It's because spirit is energy, and energy can be moved. It can be manipulated. And because they're there, they can manipulate the energy in the air. They can manipulate the energy around these lighter weight creatures. They're not the actual butterfly or the dragonfly, but they can manipulate the energy around these winged creatures because they're so light, to make them move into your path, to kind of keep them there for that amount of time, right? So this is how I always kind of talk about signs in that way. So it's not that they are the butterfly. It's that they're merely manipulating the energy around this creature to give you that experience, for it to come close to you, for it to draw close to you. And it's a beautiful connection. Some of the other things that they can manipulate, they are very good at manipulating electricity, as I have seen through countless experiences of my own, especially working within the framework of the paranormal, but also in my readings. I can't tell you how many times I have hopped on a Zoom call and I have had weird phenomena start to occur with either the sound or the video, etc., as we're recording, as we're doing the reading. And then as soon as we're done, everything stops, right? I've also had it where they'll just come in and they'll turn off or on my television. You know, like I'll feel a spirit and the next thing I know, my TV's turning on and off. You know, these are, and there's no, and I'm looking for mundane explanations for these things and I don't have them. There's nothing wrong with the wiring. There's nothing wrong with the television. There's nothing wrong with my computer. It's just that energy manipulation, right? So electricity is a big one. Some other ways that your loved ones will send signs, of course, you know, songs on the radio, right? Like I said, perhaps you're thinking of that loved one, and then the song that the two of you used to sing together all the time comes on the radio when you're driving, right? Or you're driving past a place where the two of you used to visit, or a place that's special to you, and then you just, the song comes on and you feel like the lyrics are them speaking to you. Those are those precious moments that you just feel deep down. And I always tell people, if you have to ask yourself, was that a sign? If you find yourself going, it probably was a sign. You know, where it came from, who it came from. You know, if you want to dive a little deeper into that, that may take a moment of silent reflection to just sit with and take a pause and be present and see what comes up next and trusting in that experience. Now, some other interesting phenomena that I've experienced, and I always like to talk about, so we have all these different ways that our loved ones can come through, but let's talk about some oddball things that I've seen, the ways people have come through, and not just for myself, but also in some of my readings, some of the validations that have come through. So some of the less common things that I've seen was particularly my own experience. So the night that my mom passed away, it was either the night of or the night after. I don't recall which. But I was in my grandmother's bedroom. My grandmother was still alive at the time. And we were going through her hope chest. She had one of those beautiful lane, like wooden hope chests. And she was pulling out some cards, some greeting cards that my mom had given her over the years. She had saved all of them. And she opened one and she was reading the letter that my mom had written to her in this greeting card from years, years, years past. And as she was reading, we were standing directly underneath the ceiling fan. And the ceiling fan was not on, mind you. But it had one of those pull tabs because it was an older type of ceiling fan. You know, the pull chain had a pulley. And as my grandmother was speaking, the pulley started to swing and it started to spin and it just got faster and faster and faster. And I didn't notice it at first, but my husband did. And because we were all three standing there, and he tapped me on the shoulder while Grandma was reading. And he pointed up and I looked, and this pulley was just spinning, like just spinning. The fan wasn't spinning, it wasn't on, the pulley alone was spinning. And it was so overwhelming to feel that emotion, and I could feel my mom's presence in that room, in that moment with us, as my grandmother was reading the words that she had written to her on that greeting card. That was probably the most in-your-face sign that I've ever received. And I got that feeling of peace, of calm, even though I was in the midst of the heaviest grief of my life because I had just lost the most important person in my life. I felt her like she was hugging me.
And after my grandmother stopped reading, it stopped spinning, it slowed down. And to be honest, that was the last sign I received from her, or at least that I saw or noticed, for approximately 10 years. 10 years. Because this was in 2007. I did not receive another sign from her until 2017. And believe me, that was frustrating. I was angry, though. I was grieving. I was in a place of deep, deep emotional pain for many years. And I do believe that that's one of the reasons why I was not receiving signs from my mom. And I look back now and I kind of think that perhaps because I was in that place of having a very narrow field of vision, or kind of looking for that other instance or that really in your face sort of sign that would happen again, I just don't think I was aware enough, even though I'm sure my mom was trying to come through and send me signs, that it was kind of bizarre, you know, and it was frustrating and I was angry. And I know that so many of my clients that I sit with come to me and feel like they're not receiving that communication. And what I have told them and the things that we explore is that the things that you are looking for, or the expectations that you have on what the signs should look like, need to be released, because you're missing all of those other beautiful ways that they can come through. So have you ever had an experience where you thought you saw someone when you were out and about that looked so much like your person, and you literally had to stop and do a double take, and it just took your breath away? That's a sign. That's what we call transfiguration. They can project their image over someone who has similar qualities and characteristics to where you'll actually like see them very clearly and you'll have to stop. That's a sign. And that actually happens very frequently. And so when I say that I didn't receive signs from my mom, I did have these types of experiences, but I didn't attribute them to signs. I thought they were perhaps my own mind or my psyche kind of coloring my experience because I was in deep grief, and that is possible too. But I definitely have had those experiences where it stopped me in my tracks. So another way that they can come through is sort of orchestrating things in a weird way to send you a message and let you know they're there, particularly when it comes to names. So this is a really interesting phenomena that I've noticed happened a lot when I was working in the hospital, particularly in labor and delivery and postpartum, because let's be honest, of course your loved ones in spirit are going to be so excited about a new baby coming into the world, and they're with that soul before it even gets here. So yes, they're going to be there to be present for that experience, right? If warranted. So I have seen this countless times when I would take on a patient, and it was on my end as the nurse that I would end up caring for a patient who had the same first name as my mother, and she had the same birthday. This happened on more occasions than I can count. In the hospital, this happened a lot. This was one of the ways that my mom was coming through that I didn't quite attribute as a sign, but I thought it was a really nice sort of synchronicity of her way of letting me know, like, hey, I'm here. But I also had talked to patients where I would walk into the room and I would tell them my name, and they would say, oh, that Samuel was my grandfather's name, and your grandfather was in spirit, right? Or we're naming our baby after him. Like, that's so cool that you're Sam too. So those are some of the ways that I feel like our loved ones have a tendency to orchestrate things and get our attention to be like, hey, I'm here. I'm here. And I've seen that so many times because I've had patients actually tell me that multiple times. And then it even happened to me on my end as the nurse. So these are the some of the more odd ways that your loved ones can kind of communicate that they're there, right? So now let's get into
like the idea of seeking validation from signs. Now, a lot of people ask me, can my loved ones essentially sort of like give me guidance from the other side using signs? And I believe that they can to a degree, but we don't want to be too reliant on them when it comes to making our own decisions. They don't want to influence us in any way, and I don't really think that they can. I think they can maybe project an idea into our head of some kind, or maybe inspire us in some way, but ultimately you have to be the one to make those decisions. And so very often what I have found is that when it comes to asking loved ones, is this the right decision? Am I making the right decision, etc., you know, trusting that intuitive nudge, right? Ensuring that the decisions that you're making are not coming from a place of fear. They're coming from a place of intuition, etc. That we're not making irrational moves based on what we think are signs. Like, I've seen this countless times. Again, I said this kind of comes into like making decisions based off of, you know, angel numbers on a license plate. That's never going to work out very well. And I think they've actually done some studies that have shown that when it comes to people who solely make decisions based off of what I think is intuition, they tend to actually make poor decisions. And I want to just say that remembering that intuition is merely information. It's information to help you navigate the world around you. But very often our intuition is very much clouded by our experiences. It's colored through our trauma. It's colored through, you know, a lot of heavier, denser energy that we acquire when we're here through our lived experiences. So this is why the work of kind of untangling those things, recognizing our biases, recognizing our fears, recognizing our sort of shadow, if you will, and kind of integrating that so that we can tell when we're acting from a place of intuition and versus a place of like fear or anxiety. Intuition comes in like a whisper. It's very soft. It's very subtle. And trauma responses, ego responses are very much tied to like rumination in the mind. They're very much tied to a sense of urgency or anxiety. They're built out of a need for safety, right? So I see a lot of people conflate trauma responses for intuition, and this can lead you down a very, very not so good path. If you're following that particular, if you're making decisions from that place, it's not always going to be the best. So with that being said, it serves a purpose, right? Our ego serves a purpose. We're not here to vilify or defeat the ego by any means. We should be trying to make it an ally. It's information. It helps us determine our place in the world, understand how we interact in the world, etc. So it's a very important piece of the psyche. And I went over this in my last podcast, talking a little bit about shadow work, etc., and how this breakdown or vilification of the ego that we find in so many spiritual spaces should never be the goal, right? We need to have an healthy ego. We need to have a healthy sense of self in the world in order to function in the world and have this experience. This is why I say it's a really good idea to have someone close to you, a friend, a buddy who can kind of check you and be like, hey, like, so, you know, and kind of give you that little reminder of like, you might be moving into territory where you're magically thinking all the time. And that's not healthy, because that can lead us down a rabbit hole into a mental space that can spiral if we're not careful. And that's why I always want to encourage people, like when it comes to signs, they're usually going to show up when you need the most. But if you feel like you're receiving signs every moment of every day and it's just in your face, bam, 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 all the time, that's probably a sign that we need to take a step back and really kind of look at our experience for what it actually is and start to move back into the mundane and be like, oh, I need to check myself. So I always want to remind people of that, the importance of using the discernment, using the judgment, and really looking honestly at, you know, how are these things making me feel? Am I getting a hit of dopamine and a rush of dopamine that I need because, you know, I have ADHD, it's everywhere and it's so intense. You know, so being discerning with the signs as they come in. A lot of people ask me, how can I know if my guides are communicating with me, etc.? It's very similar to loved ones, but with guides, it's a little bit more different. I, particularly when working with guide energy, will assign certain signs to particular guides that we've agreed upon in our meetings and meditation, etc. But this takes a lot of time. So I always want to encourage people, if you are trying to build a relationship with your guides, really take the time to do that, because you're building a relationship not only with your guides, but also with yourself. There's a lot of theories out there about guides being a sort of perhaps a sliver or a piece of ourselves from another life that we're connected to, or like a soul fragment. I don't know what I really truly believe about that, but I feel like there's it's theoretical, and I just know that my guides are there and I feel them, and however they want to project to me, that makes the most sense for me. And the way that my guides show up for me may not be the same way that someone else's guides show up for them. So that's something you have to cultivate over time on your own. And if anyone has questions about that, I do have a ebook that is available that you can find on my website, all about connecting with spirit guides and the roles of the guides. And it also has some accompanying meditations to help you kind of begin that journey of working with spirit guides from a grounded perspective. When it comes to your loved ones, if you're not receiving signs, I want you to think about the loved ones that you would like to receive signs from. And I want you to think about their life, who they were, how they were, what they did for work, right? Look at those elements. Now, thinking upon those things, those themes, those characteristics, those qualities, what are some things that they loved, right? Maybe there's hobbies that they enjoyed doing. Maybe there's a certain type of music they love to listen to. Maybe they worked as an electrician at one point, or maybe they were a plumber, right? So start thinking about things that are associated with those particular qualities and aspects of their life, because the likelihood that they're going to utilize something along those lines that they understood when they were here that you would associate with them would be more than likely some of the ways that they're going to send signs. For instance, I had a gentleman who came through who was a banker. He was into investing. That was his life. He worked the stock market, etc. He was a father. And one of the ways that he comes through for his children is he literally sends them money. He puts money in their path. He puts, whether it's coins or dimes, and he doesn't just send any particular type of money. The dates on these coins would be corresponding with either like the year that he passed, the year he was born, or the year of significance for someone else, or the person who picked up the penny or the quarter or whatever it is. So he was very particular about the way that he sent signs, because he was very particular in life. So that's a really unique way that he comes through. I also have had electricians or plumbers who have come through and they mess with electricity. The lights flickering, the TVs turning on and off, etc. And that's one of the ways that they come through, because they worked with electricity when they were here. Right? Plumbers, similar things. A lot of people, when they, the plumbers that I've connected to, one of the ways that they'll come through is like water will just start running in the bathroom and people will think they have like a leaky faucet, but actually it's off. and there's nothing wrong with the plumbing, right? So these are the kinds of things that I always want to encourage people to like think about your loved ones and think about who they were when they were here, what did they do, hobbies, you know, occupations, like things that they loved, and, you know, incorporate that into your wheelhouse of awareness, that may be something they may utilize to come through. And then just open up and don't look for it. Sometimes if we look too hard, we can miss what's right in front of us. And I think that's really the biggest sort of takeaway from working with signs, working with spirit, in my professional opinion, is that the most obvious answer is usually right in front of us, but very often we very often miss it because we're looking for something big, huge, and grandiose. Now, when we talk about like nature phenomena, this is a really big one too that I don't think I've touched on yet, is rainbows as being a sign from your loved ones. This is a really cool instance when they can manipulate nature to give us signs. I've seen videos of rainbows, you know, happening at very, very interesting times. So for instance, when my dogs passed away, they passed away within 13 days of each other. I was absolutely devastated. And I had gone into the shelter just because when you're a dog person and you've had a dog for 15, 20 years, you kind of feel like you need that energy. You just need to be around that animal energy. It's very grounding for me, especially as a medium. And so we were going to the shelters and just walking around the shelters just to get our dog fix, me and Sean. And I remember the day that we came across the girls that we have now. And they were just so amazing. We fell in love with them instantly, but we just felt like, man, is it too soon to take on another set of dogs? And I remember asking Disco and Quest for a sign. And I kid you not, like the very next day when we were having to make the decision if we were going to adopt them, a double rainbow appeared in the sky, which is over the ocean nonetheless. There's beautiful photographs of it. It was one of the most beautiful double rainbows I've ever seen here in San Diego because it was literally over the ocean. And it occurred on the day that we were adopting the girls, that we had to make that decision. And I took that as a sign from them that like, yeah, you're ready. Like, adopt them. And that was a really beautiful sign, right? So the timing, like looking at the timing of these things. I also have a cousin of mine who is a firefighter, and my aunt had recently passed. And I remember when I was back visiting, his very first day back at work, there was a house fire that he had to attend. And it was wild because when he pulled up to the house, it had been raining. It had been kind of like a very like, you know, those Eastern, I don't know what you call it, like those summer storms, right? In the East that you see a lot of the time in like back East. So it'd been kind of storming. And right when he pulled up to the house to put out the fire that they had been called to, a double rainbow appeared in the sky. And he looked over and he said, "Oh, Mom was with me today." It was his very first day back at the station after his mom had passed. And it was just a really beautiful sign from her that like, hey, I'm here with you. I'm here. Right? And it's those are the types of signs that those moments where you just know it's like undeniable, right? That's what it is. Some other ways that I've seen signs come through, another beautiful story. I have a friend of mine whose brother had died, unexpectedly. And as they were on their way to take care of some of the logistical things that come with, you know, dealing with wrapping up loose ends, a car pulled in front of them with his name on the license plate, his first name. And it was the most intense in-your-face sign that they, if they weren't even looking for it, and it just happened when they were on their way to take care of things. So these are the ways in which your loved ones will come through and get your attention that are a little bit more unique. So I always say be open to those experiences because there's just so many different ways that they can manipulate energy. They can pull our awareness in one direction. But if we are too focused on what we think it should be or expectations are too high, we could definitely miss it. It's kind of like what Ferris Bueller says. I think the quote is, "Life moves pretty fast. If you don't slow down and look around, you might miss it." The same is true for the signs from our loved ones. So, and the spirit world and your guides, etc., that you're on the right path. And something else that I always like to encourage people to do too, one last thing when it comes to signs. If you don't know what a sign means, if you think something's a sign and you're not entirely sure, take a moment
when you have an experience that you think was a sign, whether that's you, maybe you came across some repeating numbers at a really weird time. And I want you to take a pause, take that beat to be present in that moment and think about what was happening immediately before, and then pay attention to what happens immediately after and what you were feeling in that moment when that sign occurred. That can help you start to understand the relationship and the reasoning and start to keeping track to see if there's patterns unfolding within the way in which you receive signs, whether that's from a particular loved one, whether that's from your guides or the universe, etc. Right? So just take those moments when you think it's a sign to be present and to pause and to slow down and to see what comes and to trust what comes. And make that note of it, whether that's journaling it down or putting it in your notes in your phone, and then keeping that for reflection for later. Because while not everything is a sign, we have to be discerning and we have to take the time to really reflect, to make sure that we're staying grounded when it comes to communication from these other realms. It's really important that we also acknowledge the beauty and magic that is there. Because when not everything is a sign, when it is a sign, it's really, really magical. And it's a beautiful experience. So, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the podcast here. And as always, if you have anything you want to share, any ideas for topics that you want me to cover on this podcast, feel free to email me at the contact info below, or you can drop a comment in the Q&A field, what have you. And until next time, I will talk to you soon.